Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Hey, would you high-five your neighbor real quick? Tell him welcome home. Hey, like we had just said, this is City View Church. Welcome if this is your first time. We are and strive to be the perfect place for imperfect people. Can I get an amen from somebody? Hey, so if this is your first time, I gotta go. I got things to speak about today. But real quick, if this is your first time, couple things. Number one is this is a perfect place for imperfect people, right? And so you do not have to believe what we believe in order to belong here. I think that's something that's so important. And so what you'll find here is that we are on a faith journey as a community following Jesus. And so you'll see people that have been following Jesus for a long time. Some people have just actually crossed over that line of faith, as some people would say, and are just now taking their next step. And then some people here just haven't really known what to do with God or Jesus and the like. So if that is you, I just want to tell you, this is a perfect place to process who Jesus is. That is why we create a space such as this. So hopefully, I hope that you just have an encounter with God today. Can I get an amen from somebody? Now, before I get started, how many of y'all been on a date that went really bad quick? Don't look at your spouse. So how many of y'all been on a date that went sour fast, right? So years and years ago, I was taking this girl out on a date. Now, a little background, we had dated in the past. That didn't work, so we tried round two. And if you can forecast where this is going, you got the right idea. So one day I was like, you know, like, hey, let's go to dinner. We're going to go to this place called Sam's Cafe downtown. How many of y'all know anything about Sam's Cafe back in the day? I got nobody except a couple. Let me tell you, they got the most fire dip, guys. I'm telling you, it's got, they start you off with this bread and this like cream cheese, but it's got this like salsa flavor to it. It's next level. So I'm like, yo, let's go to dinner. Going to get that dip. It's going to be amazing. We're just going to have a good time, right? So we go on this date, and have y'all ever had one of those nothing fights? You know, where you just fight about nothing important? So we're sitting there, and I don't know what precipitated the conversation, or I should say the argument, but things turned sour quick, right? So things are getting a little more uneasy at dinner. There's a lot of tension rising. We're getting a little argumentative, and I'm at my boiling point, right? So I'm about to lose my mind, right? And as this is happening, I'm thinking, this whole thing is cursed, right? This whole night's cursed. This is a joke. As I'm thinking that, our waiter comes to on my side, and he goes, hey guys, we want to offer you some complimentary chocolate shake or a piece of chocolate cake. And my first thought was, I will slap that cake out of your hands right now. Have you not seen that this is World War III going on, and I've got a fight to get on with this girl, right? So we're fighting, and I'm thinking, man, God is sick. Is this his like sick joke of like going, hey, I know you're not supposed to be doing this, but here's some cake anyway, right? So it's funny. So I'm like, you know, no one's going to eat this cake. So I'm like, sir, can we get this cake to go? Because I'm going to take this fight to go because I'm not done, right? I got things to do. So we go to this park right outside. We're still beefing. And she sits down on a bench and I'm like, oh, fine. Like I'll sit next to her, whatever. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, this whole thing's cursed. Like, this is just like, we're not supposed to be here. You know, this is just not it. And so I'm thinking, you know, whatever. Push through those feelings, whatever. You got to work hard, right? So I decide I'm going to put my arm around her on the bench while looking forward, because, you know, you can't look at each other when you're fighting. And so I put my arm around her, and two things happened. I felt something hit my arm, and I also heard something hit my arm. I am not joking, guys. The second I put my arm around her, bird pooped on my arm. Are you, can you imagine your blood's boiling and you go, I mean, in basketball, we call that a bang, bang play. It was boom, poop on the arm. I'm like, this whole thing's cursed. Absolutely. I gotta get out of here. And I wonder how many of us view singleness that way. We view it as a curse. It's interesting, many people kind of think as singleness is something to get out of, but Scripture actually says the opposite. It's amazing how we can kind of pressure singles to force themselves into a season God does not yet have for them. And so I think it's interesting that we want people to get out of this season that God actually has them in, and it's really not so much a curse, but what happens is in culture is that what we tell singles, not specifically, but it's implied, is in your singleness state, in your state of singleness, you're not enough. And it's not really spoken, but it's implied when people say, oh, are you dating someone? How come you're not dating? What's going on? Like, what's wrong with you? Are you on this, and this site? Are you downloading this, and this app? And what the common message that we feel as singles is, okay, I guess I'm not enough until I get married. But what if I were to tell you that marriage, getting married, actually isn't the mission in life, that there's actually something so much more? What if I were to tell you that you can reach purpose without being married? After all, Jesus did. What if I were to tell you that singleness actually isn't a curse, but Scripture and God would say it's actually a gift? And so the big thing I want to communicate to us today is this very one point, is that marriage is not our ultimate destination, Jesus is. Now, would you pray with me? And I'm going to tease out that very subject, okay? So, Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this community, Lord. I pray that these words can encourage both single and married, Lord. And, Lord, that we would look to something far better, far more greater, the things that can just meet our souls right where they need to be, Lord, that we would just realize we're already fully loved. Lord, we pray for all the churches around the valley, as we always do. Lord, from Calvary and Redemption and CCV and Cornerstone and Impact and Gateway, and we could go on and on, Lord. We just thank you so much for your church. We love you, and just ask, God, that we would have an encounter with you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is interesting. So we would think as singleness is a curse, but actually in Scripture, they kind of did too. So in the beginning of Scripture, God says this when he creates mankind, male and female, in his image he created them. He says this, be fruitful and multiply, which is to say, get married, enjoy sex, and have kids, right? And so Jews back in the day in antiquity, they would read that and say, okay, we need to be fruitful and multiply. This is a command from God. And so what was caught is this, is that childbearing, having children and family, is a sign of God's blessing, but childbarrenness is a sign of God's curse. And so it's amazing that they used to think that in antiquity, but it's incredible that we still hold on to those very ideas today. Still, we feel that it is a curse, that God forgot about them, and so on. But then Jesus comes on the scene and he changes everything. He changes absolutely everything, as he always does. He loves to actually bring the fulfillment of that once very command in Genesis, where he says, be fruitful and multiply. Anyway, Jesus comes on the scene and he says this in, I believe it's Matthew 19. It might be up here, the end of it. He's talking with these Pharisees who are asking about marriage. And he goes, listen, there's three types of singles in this world. He says, there's eunuchs, or we could say celibates or singles, who have been that way since birth. There are eunuchs and celibates and singles who have been made that way by man. And then he adds this third category. He says, and then there are also eunuchs or celibates or singles who have made themselves that way themselves for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're a Jew, you're like, are you, whoa, Jesus, chill out, man. Yo, be fruitful and multiply. You remember that? And Jesus says, no, you don't understand, because I don't forget about people. I don't outcast people. Everyone is a part of my mission. And he says, listen, I'm about to give you something real good before I go away. And before he ascends into heaven, he says this in Matthew 28. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. And one of my favorite lines, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And what Jesus is saying, he said, I know it said that be fruitful and multiply, but he's saying not everyone can do that. Some people have birth defects. Some people are asexual, and sex is not something even want. And so there's this outcast of people that are outcasted by that command. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to give you a new command to singles and marrieds. Go therefore and make spiritual children. You see, you can be single and you still have purpose. It's incredible that you have, if you are single, in this moment, you have been singled out by God for good. You have just as much, purpose as a married person. Remember, Jesus wasn't married and he even reached purpose, right? So think about that. Think about it. He says he gives you, he invites you into a mission because marriage is not the mission, knowing and serving Jesus is. So let's keep going here. So something we need to think about here is that Paul then expands on this. So Jesus says, there are these types of singles, and Paul goes, listen, I'm gonna double down on how good this is. He both says both singleness and marriage is a gift. Now jump with me in the text in 1 Corinthians 7. He says this, now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am. So Paul's talking about being single. Let's keep going. But he says, but each has his own gift, not a curse, gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. And now here's where people in church, they get freaked out by this verse real bad. Single people hate this verse. Because you read it and you go, oh, no, do I have the gift of singleness? Do I not? But I have a sexual desire. Does that mean? No. God's not talking about that. What gifts is in Scripture is it's given to you to build up others. So what he's saying is, if you're married, it's a gift. You have an incredible gift from God to build up your spouse, to build up your kids if you have some. And then on this flip side is that as a single person, you also have a gift to build up the church. And if you're a single mom, you have a gift to build up your church and the kids. Does that kind of make sense? So it's a gift, not a curse. I think many of us think that singleness is really God's plan B because they missed out on God's plan A for their life, you know? And so Paul is saying that it's a gift. Now, here's the caveat. If you are divorced or maybe a widow, you know, your spouse passed away, Paul's not saying like, oh, that's all a gift, all things are great, you know, I did that for you. No. He's saying in the circumstance that you're in as a single person, that this is going to be, he's going to use that. Are you tracking with me? So he's not saying like, he's not being unempathetic towards what you've gone through and things of that nature. He's saying, no. This is going to be a gift because you can build up others in a way you weren't able to before. So this is amazing. I love Paige Benton Brown. She says this, I'm not single because I'm too spiritually unstable to deserve a husband or too spiritually mature to need one. I am single because God is good and this is his best for my life. I am single because God is good and this is his best for my life. I am single because God is, he is good and this is his best for my life. Married people, I need you to get this sentence in your soul so you can encourage us that are singles here in this place. Because what singles do, I understand that you will be talking with singles and they'll be like, oh, man, I really want a husband and wife, but can I challenge you to please help remind people like me that God is still good and that this is his best for me. I love you guys so much because that's going to be huge in our community. Because think about it, we're always told that you're not enough, but you're going to go, no, I know I'm married, but guess what? God is good and this is his best for me. I know this is hard right now, but God is good and this is his best for me. Amen? Amen, right? So here's a hard question I want to ask before I get into the rest of my talk. For those of you who are single, if I was meeting with you one-on-one and you have these desires, you want to have a spouse, and I understand that, I have the same thing. But here's a question I ask myself that I want to ask you. Is God still good, even if he never comes through for you for a spouse? Ain't no one's going to amen that, but that's a question I want you to really focus on. Is God still good, even if he never comes through for me how I want him to? Because that's something that, because if God isn't good and you don't believe that, then you're going to try to make it on your own. You're going to try to force yourself into something that God, that is not God's best. Are you tracking with me? So what I want you to understand is that God is good. This is his best for me, and let him bring you into that gift or that season. okay? So let's keep going. So Paul says it's a gift, and there's two incredible advantages he speaks about that single people have that you don't know that you have, right? That you don't realize is so good. He says this in 1 Corinthians 7:28. He says, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. So married, you're good. We're good. Good. We're good. No, you haven't sinned. You're good. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. I think the married people in the room know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all know marriage is hard, but I got to keep going. So he says in verse 29, he says, this is what I mean. Brothers, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as those they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. I know that's a lot right there, but here's, pay attention to the first sentence and the last. The first sentence is, this is what I mean. The appointed time has grown very short, and the end says, for the present form of this world is passing away. And what Paul is saying, he's saying, listen, whether you're single or married, there's so much more to life. He says, get your eyes up. There's so much more. I know you're married. Almost live as though you have none, because think about it. What matters is Jesus. The mission is not to get married. It isn't to get to a destination. It's to be with the one who created you, with your soul to rest in the one who made you. He's saying marriage is not the mission. Marriage is not the ultimate destination. Jesus is. Can we look up off our circumstances and remember who we're following, right? But let's keep going. He says this. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. Now he goes on to say the same for women. If you're single, you got one focus. When you're married, it's a little harder. It's a little more divided, right? And so he says this in verse 35. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So two things you have as single people that married people do not have. Here it is. Advantage number one, you are spared the hardships and the troubles of marriage, because guess what? Marriage is hard. Can I get an amen from somebody? If you would say marriage is hard, can you please hold up your hand so the single people in the room can go, you are right, it's hard. There's a weird thing where we think it's just going to be like full chemistry. It's going to be a Disney movie. Like, no way. Are you kidding me? Like, some of y'all need to work in children's ministry check-in so you can get there with your Frappuccino. You're like, oh, life is good. I woke up by myself. I fed myself. I drove myself here. And then you say, so what's up to your friends? And they just give you that glance like it was like World War III just to get here, right? Like Billy puked on Bobby, and Bobby had a meltdown. And you're like, oh, my, yeah, I just, yeah, this is actually not as hard as I was thinking, right? Like, you can get into some weird thinking when you're single. Like, there's so much better for you. There's grass is greener on the other side. Don't get me wrong. Marriage is an incredible gift from God. It showcases the glory of God, yet it's not the ultimate destination Jesus is. So let's keep going. So you have that, but you also have an undivided heart. Now, for the parents or those that are married in this room, you know that if you are a prayer person, a person of prayer, you're praying for your spouse and your kids. That is what's occupying probably most of your time if you're praying, right? But as a single person, you don't have those things. You're able to pray for whatever. I'm able to pray for my friends' marriages because I know they're going through a lot harder stuff than I am. And so there's this beauty of, there's this undivided devotion you have to the Lord. But here's the thing. I know how we think. We go, I really don't care about either of those advantages because I want to have sex and I'm tired of feeling lonely. Agreed. So let's go. We're going to keep going. So here are two lies we love to believe that I am here to shoot down and encourage you in a great and loving way. Lie number one is this. If I'm ever going to be fully alive, I need to express and experience sex. So let's talk real quick. So Jesus, we know, never experienced sex, yet if sex is the pinnacle of human existence, then I guess Jesus missed the pinnacle. Does that make sense? So he never had sex, never was married, but if those things, like culture says, that is the end-all, be-all of life, then I guess Jesus missed it. Not only that, would you want to follow someone who didn't live the most fully alive life here on earth? So clearly sex isn't a part of the things to live a fully alive life, am I right? But here's something single people you have to know, is that married people know something you don't. Here's what I mean. Married people know that sex has limits to it. And what I mean is they know that if you have, that sex is simply an appetite. It's so much more, yes, but it is the desire in itself is an appetite. So single people, you're aware of how your eating habits are, right? You eat for breakfast, but guess what? At some point, I can't tell you when. You'll be like, you know what? I eat breakfast and I'm good for the rest of the day. Well, that's fine, but you're gonna get hungry again. And in the same sense, sex is the exact same way. See, married people know that there's a limit to it and it never completes the desire that is in their heart and their soul, right? Now, married people, here's the temptation you have to deal with. And it's the same thing as what's on the board. Because your temptation, though, is a little different in the sense of, okay, I'm having sex with my spouse and I'm not feeling completed. Maybe I'm having sex with the wrong person. Think about that. That is a lie from the pit of hell trying to sow discord into your marriage. That's garbage, am I right? But let's go on to the second one. Another lie that we love to believe is that marriage is going to cure my loneliness. I know plenty of married people that are lonely. I think something as well is that married people know is that they know that their spouse can't complete them. And if you still put that pressure on your spouse, I'm here to tell you, you're probably making things a lot harder than they should be. Because a person was never supposed to be where your soul rests. It's supposed to be Jesus. You're supposed to get everything from Jesus. Though, yes, your spouse meets needs, absolutely. But they are not your other half. That's why marriage is so hard. See, people think single means alone, but single actually means separate and whole. And marriage is two wholes becoming one. And you can imagine, it's not like two halves becoming one. That's why it clicks perfect. No, it's two wholes becoming one. And that's why it's hard. That's why it's sanctifying. That's why there's friction. But so married people, your temptation, though, could be the exact same thing in the sense of, wait, my spouse isn't completing me. So the temptation is, maybe I married the wrong person. Again, that's a lie. Do not listen to the enemy. I'm here to encourage someone today that you can have those thoughts, and that is fine. But listen, that's from the enemy. Shoot them down, as Jeremiah was saying last week. For it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons are for our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing all thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is not of Jesus. Shoot it down. Okay? But now, single people, what we do is we idolize the dream of marriage. Man, if I can just find that person, it's going to solve all these things going on inside of me. But I'm here to tell you today that that person doesn't exist. And the married people know it. They know it. That's what they know, that is something that you don't. And so listen, marriage is not your ultimate destination. Jesus is. But here's what's interesting. You say, but what is going on with my soul, though? Like, why do I have these aches and these pains in my soul? Like, I have these aches and these longings for sexual desire that seems to never get fulfilled. I have these loneliness issues, even if I'm married and I'm struggling. Like, what is going on here? And I love this idea of phantom pain. Now, phantom pain is simply when, say, someone from, our army goes to Iraq and loses an arm, right? They lose an arm, and there's something weird that happens. Something in their brain is either triggered, or it's the psychological memory of the arm triggers pain in the arm that is no longer there. Interesting, right? Well, what's so interesting is you can't have phantom pain unless you lost something that was once there. In the same way, your soul is longing for something that it once had. Your soul is longing. Some of you are having sex with so many people or turning to drugs, and you're trying to fill those longings of your soul. And just when you think you've caught up, it just seems to like, just you, always outside of your grasp. You're always one thing away, but because your soul is longing for something it once had. But listen, I have the answer of why that is true. Because in the creation narrative, God creates male and female in this relationship, this right relationship with him. And there was full 100% intimacy. There was nothing in between God and humanity, and everything was right until temptation entered into the story. Temptation enters into the story, and we decide, you know what? God's been holding out on us. He's trying to hold out for me. He's not good. So we warred against him and brought sin into this world, which fractures our relationship with God and humanity. The thing our souls once had rest in has now been separated because of sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. And what it's done, it has separated us from God, and our souls are longing for that what it once had, right? And so your soul is—it's longing, it's looking, it's searching for what can I just find that thing? But thank God, though we were separated, God said, "I know something that's going to cure this all. I'm going to reconcile your soul back to me. Get the rest your soul needs, and it's going to be found in me." So he says, "You know what? I'm going to send my son, and his name is Jesus." And Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we might think, wow, that's really dogmatic of you, Jesus. But what Jesus is saying is no one else is coming for you. There's no one else coming to fill the longings of your soul except Jesus himself. And Jesus is after your soul. He is pursuing you. He loves you with an unrelenting, relentless love. And he's coming to make all things new, to make right what you once lost. And what happens is when you put your faith in Jesus, it says, Christ Jesus made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Our stance now when we put our faith in Jesus is righteousness. We're already righteous, but we're not there yet. And so Jesus doesn't go backwards. He only goes forwards. And what we do as we follow Jesus, he starts to reorient your heart. The things that you thought were going to fill your soul, he starts going, no, 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 those are idols. You got to put me on the throne. He starts removing things, and slowly but surely, as you grow following Jesus, he's going to start to solve those aches and pains that you deal with. But I will tell you this, because your soul is so longing to find the rest in Jesus, at some point, even here on earth, they will not be completely filled. And here's why that's actually a gift. Because that desire you have, it points you to something greater. Think about it. The ultimate destination is not marriage, it's Jesus. And that groaning inside of you is pointing you to, no, there's something not here that I need. There's something here that my soul is longing for. And Jesus says, yes, you're right, it's me. Some of you have been searching and searching and searching. You haven't been searching for God. You've been searching for love. But you'll know this. When you search for love, you'll always crash into God. You'll always crash into him. He's exactly what your soul needs. Now I want to encourage the single person here. I know how hard it is when you have to go to wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding. And I can picture a girl in this room. I can picture her when your best friend's the bride, she's getting married. You're sitting there and you're fixing your dress, but deep down in your soul, you're going, well, God, when is it going to be my time? Where's my dress, Lord? Or I think some of my boys who, I think as you're helping them get their tie on, you're thinking, God, this is awesome. I'm so thankful. But man, when am I going to wear my own tux? Yeah, girls in this place, I know what are saying. Where's my dress? Where is it? Come on, God, where are you at? And what Jesus is saying to you is you're already wearing it. It's his righteousness. Your friend who's dressed in all white, that's a symbol of what you already have in Jesus. You're already wearing it. You're already righteous. You're already pure. In Isaiah 61, it says this, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in the robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. Oh, you're already wearing it, man or woman of God. It doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are righteous right now. That thing that your soul is longing for is simply Jesus. And he finishes in Revelation this marriage idea. You see, marriage is always pointing to something more. And it says this, it says, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Church, whether you're single or married, remember this. Marriage is a reflection, it's not the mission, at the human level of our ultimate relationship and union between us and God. It's so much more than just marriage. It's so much more than what we could ever imagine. And Tim Keller says this, he says, marriage points us to the real marriage that our souls need and the real family our hearts were made for. You see, your soul, like I said, was made for so much more. Those aches and those pains, I ask that you'd give them to Jesus. Marriage is not our ultimate destination, Jesus is. So my question is, what will you do with Jesus? And I'll finish this way. In Proverbs 18:22, and this is for my single folk. In Proverbs 18:22, it says this. A man who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And when I used to read that, I used to think of Jesus when he would say, seek first and you'll find, knock and it'll be answered. And so there was this pressure on me to like, that I have to go find this person, that those same, it was almost that same thing of you're not enough was driving how I interpreted this verse. But then I just felt like there was a check in my spirit going, that's just really not the meaning. And I think God was really inviting me into something more. You see, what the word finds in Hebrew actually means is stumbles upon or happens upon. Which is to say, he who stumbles upon a wife stumbles upon a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Marriage is not your ultimate destination, Jesus is. And for you single people, as you are following Jesus, who knows, you might just stumble.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.